Heavenly Father, we thank you for making us a family this morning. All brothers and sisters with one Father, no matter where we came from, where we moved from, where we're going to move to, Father God. But we have the same Father no matter where we go. And we can always find our family, and we thank you for that. As we listen to your words this morning, to your message, I pray that you would open our hearts, open our ears. And I pray that we could understand the things that you have to teach us this morning as you want us to understand them, each as individuals, as separate parts of one family, Father God, because you have something different to teach every one of us today because we are all different. Let us hear what is for us to hear. And not sit in our pews hoping someone else hears what you are teaching because we think that they need it. Amen. That's one of the hardest things to do, isn't it? Oh man, I hope so-and-so gets this point. Like, well, you know, if you're getting it, that probably means God wants you to get it. So, well, I'm feeling a little off today. I'll just be honest with you. Dropped my pick while I was playing, struggled getting right rhythms. Bodie can testify to that. I don't know what we were doing. Got pancake batter on my pants this morning. This isn't my favorite suit. My jacket shrunk too much on my other suit. And so my shirt sleeves come down to here, and my jacket sleeves come up to here. And I guess you're not supposed to wash those things. I'm kidding. I didn't wash it. I just grew. Well, who was at family camp last Saturday night when we did our campfire? If you weren't there, you missed out on a really fun time. And we had this really great storm that came up that night. Well, last Saturday morning, me and the boys were staying in the speaker's cabin, and the speaker's cabin has like a little living area. And then behind it, it's got one bedroom with two twin beds, and then it's got another bedroom with a double bed, and then it's got its own little bathroom. And it's got two thermostats. It's got one in the living room and one in the bathroom. And Tyler is always asking me, Daddy, when are you going to come sleep with me again? And he wants me to sleep up in his top bunk, which is the small bunk, and he wants to sleep on the double bunk all by himself, and he just thinks that would be the greatest thing for me to sleep up in the top bunk and him down on the bottom. So since it was just us boys last Saturday night, I decided, okay, we can all sleep in the same room. So Friday night, I put the twin beds together, and I gave them a bed, and I slept in the other bed, and I put a couple inches in between us so that, you know, I could move and not wake them up, and you know they're going to move, and they did. Jaron, I didn't know Jaron was such a bad sleeper, but he kept waking up, Daddy, where's your bed? I woke up one time and Tyler was using Jaron as a pillow. I mean, he had Jaron up and he was like this on Jaron's stomach. I'm like, well, I guess it's good they don't share a bed yet. And so we all slept together, and I got up Saturday morning and it was chilly. You guys remember how last Saturday was? It was cold, and it had been raining in the night, and you could tell it was going to rain during the day. And I got up and I turned those thermostats up to 70. You know, they got the little baseboard heaters that dry heat, and I thought, I'll get it nice and warm, because when the boys get up, they love being warm. And if they're not, they won't want to get dressed. They won't want to do anything. They want to take their blankets with them, and that's just not a good thing. So I got up, and I turned up the thermostat, and I peeked in the door, and they're both still conked because they don't sleep good. So they finally started sleeping good in the morning. One of the problems is they were just too excited, you know. They love camping. The weekend before, we were down at Lake Darling, and we had the same problems. Jaron didn't want to stay in bed. He kept getting out of bed. Mommy, Daddy, like, go back to bed. Oh, okay. And, you know, he's getting bigger and bigger, and he's talking quite a bit now, and he talks really well. If you have a conversation with him, he will tell you cows drive combines, but they don't drive Johns. So we get out, and we go to breakfast, and we have a fun day. I learned a lot about Ann Nichols last week because she's a very competitive person, and she was on my team, and she was yelling at a lot of people. So, but it was in a good competitive nature, and she got calmed down, and Well, I thought I was competitive. So we had this fun with the race, and then it started raining in the afternoon. And so we all went inside. The boys and I went down, and the boys laid down and took naps because they were tired, because I had to wake Jaron up, and he gets cranky when you have to wake him up. And then we went and we watched this movie in the chapel, and we had a lot of fun, and the boys were drinking pop and stuff. And like, I thought that orange pop was caffeine-free. It's not caffeine-free. And after the chapel, we had to do our campfire. Well, it had been raining, and so we decided, well, we'll do it in the shelter house, because they opened that back up this year, and so we could do it in there and still kind of be outside. And it's been raining off and on, and every now and then during the movie, you can hear a little thunder, a little boom, 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 boom. And if you looked off to the east, there's all of this heat lightning. Just the sky would just light up, and then as it got closer, the thunder got louder and the lightning got bigger, and we went down. And we're down there, and Lucas is leading them in some camp songs, and I'm trying to sing along, and we're trying to remember what we're doing, because it's been a while for me and a while for him too. And the storm is coming off in the distance, and Tyler's sitting on Mary Davis's lap, and he's all wrapped up in a blanket, and he's safe and cuddling. And Jaron, he doesn't want any of that. He wants to be free. He wants to roam around, and he's in his little camo hoodie, and he's got the hood pulled up. And Lucas and I are standing here leading songs, and Jaron walks up in front of me and stands like this. He doesn't say anything. He just stands there like this. And he's getting worked up. This is how Jaron gets worked up, like this. And it's all internal. Tyler gets worked up on the outside. Jaron gets worked up on the inside until he can't contain it anymore. And he's listening to this thunder. And he's seeing the lightning. And every time there's something big, we're all like, ooh. And Jaron's. And we ended a song, or we were getting ready to end a song, and Jaron just couldn't take it anymore. And he just burst into tears, and he just started crying. Puts his arms up, so I pick him up, and I'm like, it's okay, buddy, it's okay. And when Jaron is scared, he holds on with all four things that he can hold on with. He's got his legs wrapped around me tight, and he's got his arms wrapped around me tight, and his head's real close to mine, and he's really scared, because this, if you guys remember the storm, it was a big storm. The thunder was some of the loudest thunder I'd ever heard. And the lightning was everywhere, it seemed. And the weather, you know how right before a storm comes, all of this wind starts blowing and the temperature drops. And you're like, oh boy, here it comes. And I'm thinking, well, I got one crying boy here. I've got another boy here. We got to go up to the lodge and get our stuff, because we got to get it cleaned out, because another church was using the lodge. So we had to go to the lodge and get our stuff and then go to our cabin. I'm like, we better go, because otherwise we're not going to get to go. And I'm going to have, I mean, we're underneath a roof, but the elements were all around us, and Jaron was just getting scareder and scareder and scareder. And so I grabbed Tyler, and Tyler, when Tyler gets nervous, you can hear it in his voice. Dad, are we going to make it to the cabin? Like, yeah, we're going to. It's okay, I'm brave. And he's holding, he won an umbrella at the drawing, a Mitchell family home umbrella, and he's just the proudest owner of this umbrella, and he's got his umbrella, and he's walking, because it's raining, and I've got Jaron, and we've got an umbrella, and he's like, it's okay, we're going to go get our stuff, and it's okay, Jaron, it's okay, because Jaron's still crying, and we go back up to the lodge, and we get our stuff, and then we head down to our cabin, and I walk into the cabin, and just, whoa, those thermostats have been on 70 all day, and this, it's just a heat wave, and we get in there like, whoa, because it's cold outside, and we've got all of this heavy stuff on. The boys have sweaters and hoodies, and I've got a couple long sleeve shirts on. So we start stripping down, and I open up the two front windows, and we get the boys ready for bed. And it's getting pretty stormy outside, and when it storms, Tyler likes to know that he can get to you if he needs to. So he's like, Dad, can you leave the door open? Okay, I'll leave the door open, because the door to their bedroom, I was going to be in the living room getting ready for Sunday morning. And so I open up the door, and they're laying in bed. And the loudest thunder I've ever heard. Plus, I have the front windows open. It was so loud. I mean, just boom, 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 boom. And the boys, Daddy, Daddy. And I walked in there. And Jaron, I didn't know he was that strong, but he climbed right up me. Like, I didn't even have to lift him up. He was up on top. He was almost up on my head, perched like this little, we call him our koala bear, because he goes like this and, you know, gets the feet like he's wrapped around a tree. And he was not, I couldn't put him down. You know, and before that, I had moved my chair over to the door so that they could see me, because I thought, okay, it's one thing to have the door open, then Tyler wanted me to move the chair over so he could see me, and then that thunder came, and that was just it. So I couldn't even, I'm like, stay here, I'm going to go close the windows. No, no, don't leave us. Like, we're going to die. And so I've got two boys, one little one and one big one. And they're both, they get pretty big after you've been holding them for a while. And we walk over and they're scared because it's really loud. And the thunder just won't stop. The lightning won't stop. We close the windows. And I'm holding them and I take them back into bed and they wouldn't let me put them down. I said, well, I close the windows. It'll be quieter now. We've got your fan on. No, they were too scared. They wouldn't let me put them down. I said, okay, I'll lay down with you. And so I laid down and I laid Jaron down, and that little boy pressed his back up against me as tight as he could, curled his legs up, took his safety blanket, put it up around his head. Tyler curled up and faced Jaron. Their faces were like this far apart. Tyler had his fingers in his ears and his little blanket over his head. And I put one arm over the top and one arm over the around their heads, and we went from being extremely hysterical crying to, in like a minute, they were asleep. That was it. That's all it took. Now, there were two points of view in that story. There's the comforter, who is me, and the comforted, who are the little boys. To me, the comforter, there was no fear. We were in the cabin. We were safe and sound. Even with the windows open and the thunder booming and lightning flashing, I was perfectly fine because I wasn't afraid of it. Now, you guys, who's afraid of being, some people are a little nervous around storms, but when you're inside and when you live on the hill and you've had a many storms come through in the last 2 years as we have, I'm like, this is nothing. This is, it can blow and boom as much as it wants. We're going to be fine. I knew that there wasn't going to be any harm done to us. And all of my attention could then be focused on those who needed the comfort, which was my little boys. But to them, their viewpoint, there was great fear. I mean, just the most fear I've ever seen in Jaron's eyes. Even though we were out of the storm, it was all around us. And like I said, it was the loudest thunder. Okay, to the boys, it was the loudest thunder in the history of all storms. And it was the brightest lightning that anybody could ever even try to imagine. It was brighter than that. And I could give them words like, we're safe, we're okay. Hey, the door's open, you guys can hear me, you guys can, you know, you can get to me if you need to. And then I moved my chair over and I sat and like, hey, you can see me, it's safe, everything's okay. But words didn't take away their fears. And just sitting, like from me to Chandra, didn't take away their fears. And their hearts and minds were only comforted when I laid down beside them with Jaron's little body pressed tightly against mine, Tyler facing Jaron with his fingers in his ears and their blankets surrounding them and my arms enveloping them, keeping them safe. Their heart rate slowed down, and within a minute they were asleep, even as the storm continued to rage on around us. The storm wasn't over. It still was getting louder and louder and stronger and more rain and more thunder and more lightning. And this, I don't know how long the storm went on, but it went on a long time. But even with all of that going on around them, with me laying there comforting them, they were at rest and they were at peace. And they immediately went to sleep. The comforted found peace in the arms of their comforter, which is me. Let's turn in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is Paul and Timothy's letter to the Corinthian church. And as almost all of Paul's letters start out, there is a thanksgiving, because that's a popular thing to do in that culture. When you write someone, thank them of something, probably has to do with them making them feel good. Oh, thank you for this and that. And in almost every one of Paul's letters, there is a thanksgiving, except for Galatians, which means he was really getting down to business. There's no time for a thanksgiving. I got to let you guys know what's really going on. So here, we're going to read Paul's thanksgiving, starting in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. This is Paul's thanksgiving, and he specifically addresses God as the Father of all compassion and comfort. There are two viewpoints in life. There's God's and there's ours. There's the Father's and there's the child. Our view sees our storms and our trials and our sufferings, and we feel the rage even in the safety of our salvation. Even though we are secure in the blood of Jesus, the trials and sufferings we face can overpower our senses, rendering us scared and shaking, can it? There's a lot of storms in life. Has anybody been through a storm, like a spiritual storm or in a relationship or anything? There's things that happen in the world because the world is a place of sin. You can't go through life avoiding storms, especially if you're a follower of Jesus. What did we learn last week? It said that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you can expect persecution. Jesus teaches his disciples that if you love me, then the world hates you, so you can expect to be treated with hatred towards you, right? We're going to go through storms. We're going to go through times of hurt. We're going to go through times of trials. And they can leave us just scared and shaking. God's view sees the storm. He sees its rage, and he knows that you're safe in him. He knows that the most important thing was that reconciliation between him and you, his beloved child. You are safe in his arms. And we can scream at the top of our lungs when things get the worst. We say, stop the storm, stop the trial, stop the sufferings. You said I was supposed to take joy in these? How in the world am I supposed to take joy in my hardships? These are hard. I want to ask you a question. What does a parent do when a child is just uncontrollably upset? What's the first thing that you usually do? Try to comfort them. How do you comfort them? Have you ever tried to comfort a child that would not be comforted? Our oldest, we used to pick him up, and he would just look around the room. Are you here, Dad? Are you here, Mom? While he's in your arms. The most confusing thing for a parent is to hold your child and have your child ask you, are you here? You take that child and you grab their shoulder and say, look at me. Look at me. Look at my eyes. Focus. You have to focus on me. Even though I'm holding you, you're not even focusing on me holding you. You're focusing on the storm around you. You have to look at me. You have to focus on me. If you want to be comforted, you have to focus on your comforter, can't you? Is that not how it works? So when we go through our storm, sometimes we say, where are you, God? Where's your comfort? And God may be holding us and saying, look at me. Look at me. You have to look at me. While we're screaming, stop the storm. Stop it now. God's saying, I'm right here. Look at me. You're safe. You're safe. Just look at me. Take your eyes off the storm and put them on me. A human error is when we expect God to have to stop our afflictions to comfort us. Isn't that what we pray for in times of trial? Stop the trial so I can be comforted, God. Stop the storm. We expect Jesus to come out of the bottom of the boat and wave his arms and stop the storm. I guarantee you, his disciples were pretty scared at that moment when the storm completely stopped because this man raised his arms and said, be quiet. I'd be pretty scared. I might ask for the storm again. Okay, start the storm again. A human error is when we expect God to have to stop our storms to comfort us. But God doesn't always calm the storm, does he? No. He doesn't have to. God shouldn't have to stop the storms and calm the storms to comfort us. Real comfort, real life-changing comfort that comes from the God of all comfort is when you focus on God and feel his safety, even though you are still walking through the valley. Real comfort, real life-changing comfort doesn't happen when you're sitting beside a still water and in the green pastures as God is restoring your soul. Yes, that's comforting, but imagine what good is that comfort until you go through the valley. If you can be comforted in the valley, if you can keep your focus on God during the valley as he holds you and you see the storm all around you and focus on him and listen to him saying, I've got you, you're safe. You see my rod, you see my staff. My staff is going to protect you from anything coming at you and my rod is going to protect you from yourself. My rod is to discipline you. My staff is to protect you. Focus on me. We'll get through this valley. I can comfort you here, but you have to focus on me. Stop looking off of the path. Stop looking at what's coming at you. That's our God. That's the God of comfort. Our worldly views is the view that says, God, how come you're not taking us out of the valley? God's looking at us and saying, you're perfectly safe in the valley. There's no place you can go with me and be unsafe. It's just your fears. It's your senses. It's because you're not focusing on me. It's like picking up Tyler and being the most perplexed parent in the world when your child looks you in the eyes and says, are you here? Yes, I'm here, but you got to focus. You got to focus your heart on me right now. Now, Paul, when he talks about comfort, he's not just claiming God's comfort in these times of minor trial. If we read on in verse 8, he says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. In other words, he's wanting to tell them, hey, I'm talking about going through trials, but I'm pretty sure you guys don't understand the trials I'm talking about, because I don't think you've gone through them yet. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, because the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. What kind of trials is Paul saying that they found comfort in, him and Timothy? Trials that were so heavy they felt that they wanted to die in their hearts. That sounds pretty heavy. Has anybody ever been through a trial like that where the pain was so heavy and so hard that you didn't feel you could go on anymore, and yet somehow you did? You can find comfort in God even during times like that. God teaches us how to look at him. Paul said, I think in verse 9, all of these things happen so that God could teach us how to rely on him, not ourselves. God will teach us how to look at him, how to rely on him over our senses. That's a key thing to being a Christian, because the world is going to throw things at your senses, right? The world can't take your heart. The world can't take your soul, but they're going to do their best to get that thunder as loud as it can and get that lightning as loud as it can. And God wants you to focus on him. Like Paul said, God had to teach them. You imagine Paul had to learn? God had to teach them how to rely on him, how to focus only on him. And that's what God wants to do with us. Not only does God give us comfort through himself, though. God is the God of all comfort, but he created, I told you I'm off today. I've almost stepped off this thing twice. God gives us comfort through one another. He created this family for specific reasons. And in the very beginning it says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. When was the last time you tried to comfort someone who shared their burdens, who shared their times of trial? Do you know what a gift you have in your heart if you have been through these times of trial and God has seen you through, and you were focused on him, and he has taught you how to rely on him, and someone else comes along saying, I'm going through a trial, and I don't trust God right now. You know, you can go to them, and you can help encourage them. Not only can you, but you're supposed to. We come to church for a reason. The world is a hard place. Does anybody not going to agree with me? If your heart is set on Christ, the world is a hard place. If you're in the world, though, pretty easy. That's how you gauge whether or not how much Jesus holds your heart. It's how harshly is the world treating you? We come together to comfort one another through the comfort that we have been given from God. and help one another focus on God. When someone's looking around and they're, it's like holding Tyler, they need someone to say, look at God, look at God. Focus on God. He's the God of all comfort. He'll see you through this, but you have to look at him. You have to take time. You have to focus on him. And that's what we can do for one another. God is the God of all comfort. And he can hold you in his arms. But if you don't focus on him, can he comfort you? I don't know what's going on inside of everybody's lives. I'm not saying that we're in a time of crisis or time of trials, but I'm telling you, if you're going through a time of trial, please bring that forward to the family. Bring that forward to myself. I would love to share with you my personal testimony too. This is a place where we're supposed to be able to come to be safe. This is a place where we're supposed to be able to come and drop those burdens, drop those trials, and you can't do that if you don't feel safe, can you? I encourage you. I encourage you all to go back and read through that whole chapter. Read through those first 15 verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Learn about the God of comfort, but not the God of comfort that the world tries to teach us, but the actual God of comfort who will comfort you in the midst of the storm. When the world tells us that God has to stop the storm. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is more powerful, and we claim it every Sunday. We need to take that home with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the God of all comfort and compassion, and you have given us your encouraging words through Paul and Timothy in their letter to the Corinthians. And I pray that you would help us to learn to rely on you in our times of trials. Not just rely on you, Father God, but focus on you. Even though the storm is raging around us, Father God, that if our eyes focus on you, if our hearts focus on you, the storm will grow silent in the background. We know that there will be storms in this life, Father God, because we live in the world. As a family, help us to come together to help encourage one another. Help encourage us and comfort one another with that comfort that we have received from you, and we pass that on to one another in this family. Bless us and keep us as we go this week, Father God. Until we come back next week to be recharged again for your service. Amen.